This afternoon, I would encourage you to open your Bibles to a section in the book of Psalms that's known of as the Psalms of Ascent. We are going to be studying from Psalms 120 to 134. We're not going to be taking the time to read all of these Psalms, but we are going to look at each and every one of them and get some lessons from them. I didn't realize that these psalms stood together as a group of psalms until just recently, doing some studying on this subject with some other individuals, a very profitable study, came to realize that this was a group of psalms. The Psalms of Ascent are a special group of 15 psalms. They are also called the Pilgrim Psalms. Four of these psalms are attributed to David. Psalm 122, 124, 131, and 133. One is attributed to Solomon, and the other 10 are anonymous. I would add this, all of them are inspired by the Holy Spirit, regardless of who actually put the pen to paper. All of them in your Bible are given a title or given a heading as a Song of Ascents, except the King James Version says that they are a song of degrees. The Hebrew word that is translated ascent is a verb that means going up. Thus, ascent or degrees. Each of these songs would take you up another step. The exact purpose of these psalms as a group is unknown. Not only do we not know who wrote all of them, we don't know the exact purpose for them. We just notice that they are grouped together. But there are some theories that have been set forth by scholars and by commentators. One theory is that these psalms were songs that were sung by the Jews as they made their journey to worship at Jerusalem during the three annual feasts, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Another idea is that these psalms were written by the Jews as they were in anticipation of returning from Babylonian captivity, or as they were actually making their return from captivity. There is some merit to this view. Psalm 126 obviously is written about the return from captivity. And many of these psalms emphasize the subject of peace or call for peace in Jerusalem. And how fitting that would be after Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians destroyed the city of Jerusalem and did all but eliminate the remnant that was still living there after the two deportations, calling for peace there in Jerusalem. As you look at some of the extra-biblical Jewish writings, there's some evidence that these songs were sung by the priest and by the Levites as they were climbing the 15 steps into the temple to serve there in the temple and to worship God. So these would have been songs that were sung there around the temple as time of worship was taking place or drawing near. Another view is that these songs need to be taken in a spiritual way, that they are talking about a spiritual ascension or a spiritual going up that God expected His children to take as they were growing in the faith. Many of these psalms have to do with trusting God and learning how to rely upon God as we face and endure the trials that are in our life. And that those are growing moments and growing points in our lives. And so perhaps these psalms aren't physical at all, but instead talking about a spiritual ascension. I believe there are elements of all four of these ideas involved in the purpose behind these psalms. But the overwhelming popular opinion is the first one, that these psalms were sung by the ancient Jews as they were making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship at the temple during the three feast days. And that's the approach that I want to take as we study these psalms here this afternoon. These festivals were actually something that was looked forward to by many of the Jews. No doubt some of them saw them as a burden. But for most of them, it was a welcomed time of the year. Because this nation was united in their faith, not just in their blood kinship to Abraham, but united in their faith. Yet they were separated geographically all over the nation of Israel. No doubt this time of pilgrimage was a time that they looked forward to, in which they could come together and be together. They would not be isolated from each other all over the nation. They would have a rest from work, but they would also have this opportunity to come together, to meet with one another again, and of course the common goal of going up to the house of God and worshiping God together. No doubt these were times that were looked forward to by the children of Israel, and these songs were sung by them as they came together to worship. We no longer live under the covenant that was made by God to the children of Israel. And we no longer have to go to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. As we had read for us just a few moments ago, the Jews used to worship there in Jerusalem at the temple. But the time came when that geographical location was no longer necessary. We know now in the new covenant that we worship God wherever it is that we can assemble ourselves together as His church and worship. And we're thankful for that we live in the new and better covenant. But don't you believe that there are some things that we can learn by going back to the songbook of those old Jews and looking at the inspired words of the songs that they sang as they were assembling themselves together to worship the same God that we serve and worship today? What were some of the things that God wanted them to have on their minds as they were assembling themselves together to worship Him? What are some of the themes of these songs? What are some things they would have reminded themselves of as they were walking up that mountain to higher ground, traveling up to Jerusalem? And can we not understand that our God would want these same thoughts on our hearts and our minds as we assemble ourselves together to worship Him today? Let's look at these songs. We will not take them in order. Instead, I want to look at them topically. I want to see some things that stand out to me as I look through these 15 songs. But we are going to cover every one of them in looking at these topics. First, I want to consider what they would have seen or what they would have thought of as they were traveling up to Jerusalem to worship. Making this pilgrimage three times a year, they'd be traveling up to Jerusalem. And remember that Jerusalem was up on a mountain. So it didn't matter if you were traveling from the north or south, you were always going up to Jerusalem. And as they were walking up to Jerusalem, walking up, perhaps that mountain would come into view. Mount Zion would come into view, that mountain that hosted the city of Jerusalem. And as they saw this mountain, as they saw the seven hills that were surrounding the city of Jerusalem, then perhaps Psalms 121 and 125 would have come to their mind. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Didn't you see this as they are walking together as a group, walking together as a family, and they look, and just on the horizon, they can see those hills. They can see that mountain range. They can see Jerusalem far off. "I will look to the hills," and perhaps someone would begin the first words of this psalm, and they would all join in and sing the song together. The song is a song of praise unto God for the promise of His protection and His preservation of His people. Verse 3, "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand." These thoughts go down through these psalms, that the Lord was going to be there. The Lord was going to protect them, not just on their journey to Jerusalem, and not just protect their goods that they left behind in their home, but that the Lord would always protect them, would always be there. And perhaps Psalm 125 would closely follow. "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forevermore. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, those seven hills surround Jerusalem, the Lord surrounds His people. Imagine a father as he's walking up there with his children to worship, and they're just coming of age when they're beginning to grasp onto spiritual things. And they hear the words of this psalm that they've heard mom and dad sing many times before. But this time the father can look and say, as the hills surround Jerusalem, so our God surrounds us. And drive home that point that they're always in the presence of God. They always have God's protection. They always have God's help. And then there is the cry unto God in verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. As they were traveling up to the city itself, at least two of these psalms would have literally come into view and perhaps would have been sung. And both of them reminders of God's protection as He takes care of His people. We have the same reason to worship God today. In Hebrews 13, at verses 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What shall man do to me? I'll never leave you. I'm like that mountain that will never be moved. Something else that stands out to me in these Psalms is three of them address the subject of how blessed we are to be able to come into God's presence and worship Him. We all understand that we are always in the presence of God. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time. But the Bible teaches us that there is something special about coming into His presence to worship Him. That is a special time when we are able to join with the saints and come together and enter into worship unto God. One of the more familiar of these passages is Psalm 122 and verse 1, where David says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This song, which many of us know, this verse, would have been sung by the pilgrims as they were making their way to Jerusalem. I was glad when this time came. I was glad when they said, let us go to Jerusalem and let us worship the Lord. And what a refreshing change this is from, do we have to go to church? No, as we grow in our faith and we understand and appreciate who God is, I was glad when they said it was time to go. In verse 4, David says of Jerusalem, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. David had in view here these festival days, these feast days, when all the Jews from all the corners of the nation, all the tribes, would converge on Jerusalem to give thanks unto God, to praise God. Psalm 132 is the longest of these psalms of ascent, and it is a psalm that commemorates David's effort to secure a resting place for the Ark of the Covenant. If you look beginning in verse 1, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. That's what he wanted. And of course, we know that he was not allowed to build the temple because he was a man of war. His son Solomon was able to build it. But he did bring the ark from Kirjath-Jearim into Jerusalem, where there it found a resting place. And word goes out throughout all of Israel. And they say together in verse 7, let us go into His tabernacle. Let us worship at His footstool. Arise, Lord, to Your resting place, You in the ark of Your strength. Let Your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let Your saints shout for joy. Lord, we're going to Jerusalem to worship. Meet us there. Be there with us so that we can worship You. Look down at verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. It's Jerusalem. The Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His resting place. This is My resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. And on down through the rest of this psalm, Jerusalem is the place that God has chosen from where He would bless His people. So in this great psalm, here they are traveling to Jerusalem. This is the place God has chosen. This is the place that David worked so hard to bring the Ark of the Covenant there. And that's where we're going so that we can worship God like David did. And we can receive blessings from Him as David has and as God's people have throughout generations. Now, we don't travel to Jerusalem today, and we don't have a physical temple today. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, teaches that the church is the Lord's temple today. As we assemble ourselves together spiritually, we are that temple. And what a blessing it is to be able to assemble with the saints and to worship God the way that He has set forth. Psalm 131 is one of the shorter of these psalms, and it has as its subject the attitude that we must have in our hearts as we assemble ourselves together. This is a psalm that is attributed to David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Here's a psalm that David writes of the state of his heart as he is coming in to worship God. And he says, number one, I'm not haughty. I'm not arrogant. I am humble as I approach God. Indeed, the Scriptures teach in both the Old and the New Testament that we must approach God in a humble manner. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Just like David and the Jews of old, when we come together to worship God in His presence, we must be humble. And we must prepare ourselves and humble ourselves. But also in this verse, especially in verse 2, there is a quietness of his soul. Whatever it is, as David said before we began our worship this evening, whatever it is out there in the world that could be troubling us, let's leave it out there. And let's not carry these weighty matters into God's presence with us. Let's get those out of our heart and out of our mind. And let's worship God in the beauty of holiness. As these Jews were traveling, whatever their problems were, they left them at home. And they came with a clear heart and a clear conscience, and they worshiped God. And we need to do the same thing today. When we assemble to worship God, we are coming into His presence. That is something we need to look forward to, and that's something that we need to prepare for. And these psalms can help us to do that. Another theme that I see in these psalms is the family. The two psalms that focus upon the family, of the 150 psalms, the two that focus on the family are found in this section. Psalm 127 and 128. And it's very fitting that they would have been found here because the Jews traveled to these feast days as a family. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read of Elkanah taking his families to go there to the place of God, the house of God, to worship God together on these feast days. It was there that Hannah prayed unto God in tears for a child, promising God that she would give that child to the Lord if He would just give her a child. And Eli saw her praying, and we know that Samuel came as a result of that. They were there worshiping as a family. The only thing that we know about Jesus between His birth and the beginning of His ministry is found at the end of Luke chapter 2 when He was 12 years old and He went with His family to worship at Jerusalem. They traveled there as a family. As a matter of fact, the group was so big that when they started back home, remember, the Lord's mother and father just assumed that He was in the group. And it took a couple of days before they realized He was missing. That's how large a group it was that was traveling to and from Jerusalem to worship. So they didn't go up as individuals. This picture may be a little more accurate. They traveled up as groups. They traveled up as families. And as they did, they would have been singing these two songs that talked about the blessings of family. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Psalm 127 begins. But look at verses 3 and 4. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. This passage tells us that children are a heritage. They are a gift. They are a reward, and they are a source of strength to the father. When you look in Psalm 128, verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around the table. The blessing of the marriage, the husband and the wife. Even grandchildren are mentioned in verse 6. Yes, may you see your children's children. Isn't it great when you have generations of a family worshiping together in the same place? When they come week in and week out, worshiping together as a family. Doesn't make them any more God's people than those who come by themselves. We realize that. There's room in God's kingdom for all, for everyone. But what a great blessing it is to be able to worship together as a family. You know what's interesting? Psalm 128 and verse 4, Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. We're talking this year about walking in the fear of the Lord. Part of the fruit of that effort is your family serving the Lord with you and being able to serve and to worship the Lord as a family. Indeed, family brings us great blessings. Children are a blessing from the Lord. And it's a great source of joy and comfort to be able to worship God with one's physical family. Something else that stands out to me in Psalm 133 is the importance of the unity of believers. Psalm 133 and verse 1, Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Here they were coming from all over the nation, coming together, but coming together for one purpose, to worship God as His people. And today in the Lord's church, there is such a high premium that is placed upon our unity. The Lord prayed that we would be one. In the book of John, at chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, that we would be one as He and the Father are one in heaven. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, the Holy Spirit tells us the basis upon which we can obtain and maintain our unity as believers, that we deal with each other with kindness and with humility, and we maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And if there's a verse in the New Testament that would echo so very well what is said in Psalm 133 and verse 1, perhaps it is an observation made by Luke in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4 and at verse 32, when he speaks of the infant church there in Jerusalem and says, And the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. They were one. They had unity. You need to learn to appreciate the unity of believers. You don't really appreciate it until you had to go without it. Then you realize just how precious it is. Here they were traveling together, with one thought in mind. One thing that unified every one of them, worshiping God in Jerusalem. And we ought to have that same unity here at Knollwood, and I know that we do. But let's strive to maintain this unity, that we can worship God in a manner not that pleases us, but in a manner that pleases God, and in a manner that shows this world that our God is real. Something else I see in this body of Psalms and the Psalms of Ascent is that the Psalms make appeals unto God for different things. Many of the Psalms are given by a psalmist who is crying out unto God and reaching out and calling out to God for a specific reason, asking for a specific blessing. Indeed, that's a part of our collective worship. When we come together, we're led in our prayers by the men of the congregation who make supplications of God for different things. And that would have been true of the Jews of old. And that's shown here in these Psalms of Ascent. These desired blessings are the subject of six of these accent psalms. The first one in the group, Psalm 120, is a cry to God for peace, asking God for peace. Verse 1, "In my distress I cried to the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." This is the cry that comes from the worshiper as he is traveling to Jerusalem. "Deliver me from what I have to live with. Deliver me from my adversary, my distress. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Here the psalmist is calling to be delivered, calling for peace. Psalm 123 is a cry for mercy. "Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hands of their masters, and the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until He has mercy on us." Look at how beautiful that verse is, where the psalmist puts himself in the proper place, all of them in the proper place. "We are your servants. And as a servant looks to the hand of his master for a blessing, so we look to your hand for this blessing, mercy. Give us mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud." Mercy here would come in the deliverance from those who were causing them distress, who were making their life painful and harmful and harsh. "Lord, give us mercy." Two of these psalms are cries for deliverance, Psalm 124 and Psalm 129. Psalm 124, verse 1, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side." Can you imagine that group that's traveling up to Jerusalem together? And one of them begins in verse 1, says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say," and all of them repeat verse 2, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul." Look at verse 6. "Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth." The picture here is of a lion devouring an animal. And the psalmist says, that could have been us, but the Lord delivered us. That could have been us, but the Lord gave us deliverance. "Our help is in the name of the Lord," verse 8, "who made heaven and earth." Psalm 129, "Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth." Let Israel now say, "Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth." Again, you hear one person would start this song, and then everyone would join in with verse 2, and they would sing it as they walked together. The plowers, look at verse 3. "The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long." Perhaps here a sign of the marks of the whip that would have come down upon them during the time of captivity or slavery. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. We've been delivered. We've been set free. And the rest of the psalm is calling upon God to judge those who had harmed them. Here they were crying out for deliverance. Psalm 126 is a psalm of joy. It is the psalm that no doubt was written about the captives coming back from Babylon. And it talks about how when that happened, it was like a dream. It was like a dream that the captives had come back. Our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with singing, verse 2 says. Look down at verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. God delivered His people. God kept His promise. And we're going to worship that God because He still keeps His promise today. He is faithful and He will give us joy. In Psalm 130, is a psalm that is a cry for forgiveness from God. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Verses 7 and 8, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, with Him is abundant redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. As they were traveling up to Jerusalem, they were traveling to worship the God that gave them protection. But not only did God give them protection, God gave them all of these blessings. And they were traveling there to worship God and to ask for these blessings to come or these blessings to be continued. Psalm 122, and at verse 1, David says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And when we assemble ourselves to worship God, even today, there's no doubt within our midst some who need peace. Some who need peace in their life. And some who need mercy. And some who need deliverance. And not everybody's happy all the time. Some of us need joy. And some of us need forgiveness. And what a blessing it is that we can assemble ourselves together as one and we can approach the throne of God and we can ask for these blessings and we can look for it to come like a servant will look for it to come from the hand of his master. We can call upon a God who is faithful, a God who will give us all of these blessings. These songs would have been sung on the way to worship God. Then there's one last psalm, one that we haven't looked at yet, and it is the last of these psalms, Psalm 134. And I believe it's last because it would have been the song that would have been sung as the worshipers were actually going home. Look at this psalm, just three verses. But picture, if you would, the worshipers as they're leaving the temple, as they're leaving Jerusalem to go back home. This would have been sung in the temple. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Most scholars believe that this is a song that would have been sung by the worshipers to the priests and the Levites as they were still in the temple, calling a blessing upon them. Offering thanksgiving unto them and calling for them to be faithful in their charge to serve at the temple until the next time that they could come and to partake of it. They have to go home. They have responsibilities at home. Someone has to maintain the house of the Lord. God be with you as you do that service. God be with you as you take care of that. And they believe that verse 3 actually would have been the response that would have been sung back to them by the priest and the Levites. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. May God bless you as you return home. Two thoughts came to my mind looking at this particular psalm. Number one, it's entirely appropriate for us to pray for and encourage those who are responsible for our worship services. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the preacher and I like to get patted on the back. We've got song leaders. We have those who prepare the Lord's Supper, the communion. We have those who prepare comments. We have those who prepare their prayers that are offered. We have those who participate in a public way. We have those who make sure that the facilities here are operational. We have people who take care of these things. And we need to show our appreciation to these brethren. And we need to express our thanks unto them. And it's entirely appropriate for us to sing a parting song as we leave to encourage one another. In some congregations, that's their tradition. They have a closing song or a parting song. We normally don't. As David has said, we're going to today. We're going to at the close of this service. I'm not campaigning for that change, but I think it would be good for us to do this as we're looking at these psalms, that this song would have been an encouragement to them as they were leaving and going back to their homes to serve the Lord faithfully until they could come back together again. And that's what we'll do in a few moments when our worship service is over here. But that's what they did as they were leaving and going back home. I enjoyed studying these psalms. I enjoyed looking at them not randomly, but looking at them as a group. A group of psalms that served a particular purpose, that prepared the hearts of God's people as they were assembling to worship Him. And surely, as we look at these psalms, we can find some themes, and we can find some things that can help us, that can prepare our hearts and our minds as we assemble together to worship Him. I know sometimes on Sunday morning, preparing to worship is not always so pleasant. Oh, we didn't get those clothes washed. We got to get those taken care of now. And breakfast, we need to eat breakfast. And instead of sitting down and eating as a family, we eat in shifts. And let's just hope everybody gets some food in them before we get out the door. And Dad's ready, and a couple of the kids are ready, but Mom's not quite ready, and another one's not quite ready. And so we go out in the car, and we sit out there, maybe even laying on the horn. Come on, we got to get to church. And we show up, and we're frazzled, and our mind is in a million different places, and we're frustrated and all these other things, and that's not how God wants His people to come together to worship Him. God wants us to have our hearts prepared and our minds prepared when we assemble together to worship Him. These ascent psalms, they did that for God's people. And we need to do that today as well. We need to remember that God is our protection, that He surrounds us and He will strengthen us forever like a mountain, that He is the source of all of our blessings, that He blesses us with our families, that He can bless us with peace and mercy, deliverance, joy, and forgiveness. And what a privilege it is for us to humbly enter into His presence and to be at peace with one another and to worship Him. Let's learn from these psalms, and let's prepare ourselves to worship God in the most effective manner possible. The song of invitation is, Lord, we come before You now. That's a song in our songbook that's very close to the theme of these psalms of ascent. We're coming before You. We're coming to express our praise unto You. We're coming to ask You for blessings that we need as we serve You. It may be that you need to come to the Lord for the forgiveness of your sins, either by obeying the gospel or by asking for forgiveness and restoration. Whatever your need may be, won't you come to the Lord as we stand and sing this song?